As she comes to the podium to welcome the governor of North Carolina.
All right, thank you, Tiffany. I hope that everyone enjoyed your lunch, got a chance to connect and fellowship and talk about all the things that we are going to do together in the coming year. So, at this time, it is my pleasure to introduce to you this year's keynote speaker, 76th Governor Josh Stein. Now, I can start with a bio and relate to you all of the governor's educational accomplishments or his work history, but I think you can read about those in our packet. Instead, I'd like to tell you about the kind of person he is and why it's such an honor to have him speak to us at this particular conference. I've worked for Governor Stein for many years now, and when someone's your boss, you really have the opportunity to take their measure. What I have learned is that Josh Stein cares about people. While he might like to get in the weeds on a thorny policy issue or have a million questions about a problem we're trying to solve, it always comes back to one thing. How can it help people? You've probably seen how he's worked to combat the opioid crisis or to end the backlog of untested rape kits. Or maybe caught a news story about one of the ways he fought for women's rights, education rights, voting rights, access to health care, a cleaner environment as Attorney General. Are you sensing a theme yet? I consider us all very fortunate to have a governor who will prioritize and invest in the human capital that we have in this state. I know he believes in rehabilitation and that creating opportunities for success for successful reentry means creating safer communities. I know that he wants Reentry 2030 and North Carolina's Joint Reentry Council to succeed. And I know that he believes that each of you in this room will play a huge role in this effort and that we can count on him to take this walk with us. Thank you, Governor Stein, for your efforts thus far to support rehabilitation and reentry in North Carolina. We look forward to continuing to work with you on these issues. And without further ado, our governor.
Because she is so intense and focused and committed in everything that she does, and I'm excited for the improvements, the work that she's going to do along with all of you to help us at the Department of Adult Corrections. Leslie, thank you very much. I want to acknowledge and thank George Pettigrew, who's leading the department's efforts on reentry. He's also the point person on the Joint Reentry Council, helping to make sure that across our state government, we are facilitating successful reentry for folks. And finally, I want to thank each of you. I want to thank you for being here, because you're here, because you have a heart for people, just as Leslie said. You want what's best for people, because what's best for people is what is best for us all. What brings us together is that shared understanding for the need to support reentry. 95% of people who are in our state prisons right now will eventually get out. This year, 18,000 people will be released from a state institution. Equipping these folks with the tools that they need to succeed in their second chance, it obviously helps them, it helps their families, but it also helps all of us. As they become productively engaged in the economy, it also lowers the likelihood that they will reoffend. Everyone benefits when the person meets his or her potential and contributes to the full extent of his or her talents. People leaving incarceration are faced with important and sometimes difficult choices about what future they're going to have. But we as policymakers and community leaders similarly have choices. I believe that we must choose to do what we can to reduce the barriers that make it hard for people to successfully reenter. We can choose to support that as they reenter society, they have the greatest possible chance to successfully rebuild their lives. I just saw Dennis Gaddy here a moment ago. Dennis says, and I like the quote, he's with Community Success Initiative, but you all know that. If you make it hard for folks to do the right thing, you make it easy for them to do the wrong thing. Too often, when people leave incarceration to come back to their communities, they find door after door closed to them. They can't find housing that they can afford, or transportation they can rely on, or health care that they can access, or a job that will hire them. Every time a door closes on someone as they reenter society, it increases the chance that they may return to the behavior that led them to being incarcerated in the first place. Our imperative is to open as many doors as possible to the people coming back. That process begins at incarceration. Successful reentry means engaging people long before their release so that they can develop the tools that they need to be successful, whether it's job training, to increase employment prospects, and when necessary, to remedy underdeveloped skills and education. Health concerns, including treatment for addiction and mental health issues, to address the underlying behavior that in many instances led to their incarceration in the first place. Connection with family and faith and community-based organizations to help facilitate a person's reintegration. Then, all of this work must continue post-release. Folks need help overcoming barriers that impede their chances of success, such as housing, in particular, affordable transitional housing. Transportation. People need to be able to get to work. They need to be able to continue whatever treatment programs they have. Employment. People need income in order to stand on their own two feet. That requires also that more employers are willing to hire people with a history of incarceration. Throughout my time as Attorney General, I had the chance to work with many stakeholders in this room as we coordinated our efforts to improve the reentry process here in North Carolina. From its inception, I was an eager participant in the State Reentry Council Collaborative that the Department of Public Safety operated, which made dozens of recommendations on how to improve the process. We worked together on the Task Force for Racial Equity and Criminal Justice, which further lifted up a lot of the work that the SRCC had done. We celebrated the passage of the Second Chance Act. We supported efforts of the Joint Reentry Council as North Carolina signed on to the Reentry 2030 goals. It's a national commitment to reform how individuals successfully return to their communities post-incarceration. And we worked on issues like workforce development and substance misuse that affect reentry. I am grateful to each one of you for your partnership on these various issues. And I appreciate that our First Lady, Anna Stein, is here today. Giving people returning from incarceration a second chance and reducing stigma is one of her major priorities as First Lady, and I'm grateful for her vision and dedication to this issue. She is going to be appointed, or has been appointed. Leslie, she's been appointed? She's on it. The Joint Reentry Council, Anna, thank you for what you do. I think she's awesome. A year ago in January, Governor Cooper created the Joint Reentry Council to establish cross-government coordination around our reentry goals. A few months ago, the council released its first progress report. Just in the first year of work, we've made great strides as our state moves towards the 2030 commitments. There's plenty of credit to go around for these efforts. The Department of Adult Corrections began submitting Medicaid applications for incarcerated people nearing release. The Department of Health and Human Services secured nearly $100 million from the General Assembly to strengthen mental health and substance use services for people in prison. The Department of Transportation awarded a contract that will place formerly incarcerated people with the DOT in order to gain experience, skills, and enhance their job prospects. And it's not just state agencies working on these goals. Campbell Law School has held clinics to help people regain their driver's licenses. A nonprofit called Our Journey created an app to connect people to reentry support in all 100 North Carolina counties. And Joint Reentry Council Member Kerwin Pittman. Kerwin, are you here? Kerwin has created a hotline for reentrants to call that he's named the Recidivism Reduction Call Center. These are just a few of our collective first-year successes, and I want to thank everybody who played a role in making them happen. Of course, there is always more work to do, and I am committed to working with you all to continue our progress toward these reentry goals. We must improve the economic mobility of people who used to be incarcerated. We must improve their physical and mental health. And we must improve the prospects for successful community reintegration by removing barriers like the lack of meaningful employment opportunities. We have to continue to increase the number of reentry councils at the local level, which provide employment, support, and a wealth of other services right where people live and need them. We have to ensure that people have the training they need to access high-demand jobs. That means technical training, apprenticeships, work-based learning, and employment opportunities that are both pre- and post-release. We know that people who participate in education programs while incarcerated are about half as likely to return to prison. So my budget proposal would send funds to the Department of Adult Corrections to increase the number of incarcerated people who complete higher educational degree programs. We also have to address people's health, physical and mental, when they are returning home from prison. The Department of Adult Corrections estimates that 92% of North Carolina reentrants are eligible for Medicaid. But we're signing up only about a third of them for Medicaid prior to release. So we can do better, and we will aim to do better. Without insurance, people won't get the health care that they need. That's why my budget provides more than $200 million to the Department of Health and Human Services to ensure that justice-involved people can receive the health care that they need prior to being released. Yeah. Is mental health. About 40% of people in prison have a mental illness. Around 60% have a substance use disorder. And of course, a lot of them have both. Unaddressed, these are barriers to successful reentry. So we have to treat people's substance use disorders while they're incarcerated and provide them mental health counseling. We have to connect people with service providers so that these supports can continue in a form of a soft handoff when they are no longer incarcerated. As we discuss these issues, I would be remiss if I didn't address the issue of the dire shortages of correctional officers at our facilities. It presents a significant safety problem at the facilities, of course. But it also hampers our rehabilitation and reentry work. So despite our deep commitment to these issues, our programming cannot be at its best if we don't have enough correctional officers to keep everyone safe at the facility. Right now, the Department of Adult Correction faces a 38% vacancy rate of correctional officers. This is obviously on Leslie's work agenda. She knows how important it is. And by the way, in my budget, the reason we have so many vacancies is we are 48th in the country in what we pay our correctional officers. It is unacceptable, and we must remedy to this. That's why I've called for a 6.5% increase for correctional officer pay. Helping to support our efforts to recruit and retain public servants for the Department of Adult Correction, including those who do this important work of rehabilitation and reentry. Strengthening reentry is both the right thing to do and the smart thing to do. People leaving prison want to get a fresh start with their lives. They want a good job. Employers want skilled and talented workers. All of us want to live in a safer, stronger state with more people contributing to their full potential and with less crime. We live in a competitive world. We don't have the luxury to leave anyone's talents on the sidelines. So we have to actively help people set themselves up for success. That's why I am committed to achieving the reentry goals of 2030 to give every person a fair shot at a second chance. I'm incredibly grateful to the work that all of you are doing. I'm committed to partnering with you in the months and years to come, God willing, as we build a state that is safer, stronger, and more prosperous for all, with opportunity for every North Carolinian. Thank you all so much, and I now get the special pleasure of proclaiming April as Second Chance Month. Hold on one second.